Good morning, everyone. My name is Catherine Keir, and I am Assistant Director for Research and Health Promotion at the San Ysidro Health Center, a community clinic here in San Diego. Today, I will be talking about developing a culturally sensitive childhood obesity intervention within a border community health center. I do not have anything to disclose. To get started, I'd like to paint a picture of childhood obesity in San Diego South Region. And to do that, I would like to ask my health educator, Wendy Rojas, to come to the stage. Wendy has been the committed health educator for Project Salsita for almost 3 years and has served over 250 families to date.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Wendy Rojas, as Catherine said, and I'm the health educator for Project Salsita. And as Catherine mentioned, I will be discussing how childhood obesity is different in the South San Diego region. And the clinic where we work is located along the U.S.-Mexico border at San Ysidro. So one way childhood obesity is different where we work is because the influence of the Mexican culture here at San Ysidro. So the influence of a culture, parents are unaware of the overweight status, and they don't have the see the overweight as a risk factor for disease. And an example that I have for this one is when I call a family and invite them to the program, and they say, oh, but my kid is not overweight, he's healthy, and they see overweight as a healthy child. The next one, it's the parent responsibility to feed their child. And then in the classes, they often say, oh, but he's hungry, he's asking me for food, how can I say no? I feel bad if I'm not feeding my child. The big one is fatalismo, and this is the belief that we don't have control over what happened to us. If diabetes happened, that is meant to be, that's our destiny. So one big that we have for that one is that I call mom and I say, oh, you were referred to our program, and I invite you to participate. And the mom says, oh, but my child is not, does not have diabetes, he's not sick. When he gets diabetes, I will bring him in. Also, the Mexican diet, which is pulse, is rich in fiber and low in fat, and also, but it's often cooked with lard instead of like the manteca instead of the oil, because the manteca is cheaper than the oil. In Mexico, we have multiple meals over the dates, and this can work well in Mexico, but not in the U.S. because of the food environment. Okay. In Mexico, we often walk to school. This is the active versus the sedentary lifestyle. And in the U.S., we have to either take the bus or drive to school because the moms work. Okay. Also, the family life and the cost of living. In Mexico, most neighbors are set up that we have like a market and we all can walk to school. In the U.S., we have to drive, take the bus to school, so there's no physical activity. The influence of acculturation. Overweight children occur between two cultures. Acculturation can result in the loss of healthy Mexican beliefs, behaviors, and the gain of unhealthy American beliefs. So what's happening to these families when they move across the border into a new culture? They increase the sedentary behavior. They cannot walk to school anymore. They decrease the fruits and vegetable consumption, and they increase the fast food and junk food. Due to the cost of living, it is cheaper to buy junk food and fast food that cook from healthy meals. Okay, the influence of SES, low-income families. In 2007, 89% of the San Ysidro patients live are below 200% of the federal poverty level. These families have limited access to nutrition foods, limited access to safe places for physical activity, and they have to use extended family as caretakers. Some consequent challenges that we often found in Project Salsita, that it's making it hard to teach the families how why prevention is important, helping the families, especially the parents, to move the focus from weight loss to health promotion. We have a high no-show rate of family members, and also the responsibility of the child is able to choose whatever he wants, not their parents. Thank you.
Gracias, Wendy. Okay, so just a brief overview of our health center. San Ysidro Health Center was formed in 1969 by a local women's organization in response to the need for access to high-quality health care in the region. Nearly 40 years later, we have grown into a service delivery network consisting of 8 primary care clinics, 4 dental clinics, 4 WIC sites, research, health promotion, transportation, HIV/AIDS services, to name a few. Annually, we serve approximately 70,000 patients. Project Solcita is San Ysidro Health Center's childhood obesity prevention and intervention program. It is based on the health belief model and the trans-theoretical model, namely the stages of change. We target San Ysidro Health Center registered patients ages 5 through 12 years old and their parents. And Solcita has been graciously funded by Pfizer Incorporated since 2006. The risk factors we look at are BMI for age and gender, blood pressure. We do blood work on both child and parent, including a lipid panel, an insulin, a fasting glucose, an ALT or a liver function test, and a hemoglobin A1C. We take a family history of disease and, of course, assess current dietary and activity behaviors. A brief overview of the curriculum. If you have any more questions, please do come up and see me afterward. Intake into the program is done via referral from pediatricians. If a child presents at an appointment with a BMI at or above the 85th percentile and is in the age range, our pediatricians go ahead and refer them into the program. We have 3 data collection points: baseline, program end, and post-maintenance. And then there's, of course, our health education. So we've toyed with different strategies on this. We've gone from individual one-on-one education to group-based education. We've done different lengths from 3 to 6 months. We are finding that 6 months is better. Right now we have classes in which families attend 3 classes. They learn disease education, information and resources on nutrition and physical activity, and we have started to do quite a bit of parenting education. At the end of the last class, each child sets 2 goals, 1 nutrition and 1 activity related. And those are followed up on via phone calls every 2 weeks by Wendy for the rest of the intervention period. They also have a mandatory physical activity participation, cumulative 2 hours a week. Lessons learned are to provide small, easy to do changes. The program activities and goals should all be SMART, right? So specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. Phone works better than in-person follow-up. Our patients have a lot going on in their lives, competing life priorities, as we call it. To really frame the program with respect to the benefit to the family's health, and of course, utilize culturally sensitive information and staff. We focus on Mexican dietary habits. We incorporate Mexican cultural elements, those that Wendy outlined and also Dr. Levy. We emphasize small, feasible changes. We are sensitive of the low-income issues. And the emphasis is on health promotion, not weight loss, lending itself to a sustainable lifestyle change program. Brief information on clinic-based health promotion programs, right? We are a primary care, federally qualified health center. We are there to provide safety net services. So integrating health promotion can be sometimes challenging. The pros of this is, of course, using clinics to provide these programs instead of community settings. We have an increased adherence partially due to the connection to the provider. So there's a great amount of respect or respeto in the Latino community for doctors. And our health center is a huge respected source of health care and education in the community. Not just our program, but our health center provides culturally and linguistically sensitive care. The challenges are buy-in from providers and clinic staff, and then, of course, program sustainability, as we all know. Health education is unfortunately not yet billable. The lessons I've learned. So in terms of buy-in from the pediatricians, bless you, to really involve them from the beginning, I had our doctors review all of my curricula ideas. I go back to their meetings all the time with data on how the program is going so far. And to really frame the program as how it will benefit the doctors, right? And chiefly, it saves them time in the exam room because they're able to refer to a health education program. They like that. To conduct a big intensive training and frequent booster sessions for all departments involved at our clinic. That's patient access, laboratory, referrals, and billing staff. I retrain them between myself and Wendy probably about once a month. And of course, having the support of administration does make it a bit easier. In terms of program sustainability, this is a model we're toying with. It's called group clinical visits. It's a combination of group health education visit facilitated by both the health educator and the clinician, followed by one-on-one patient encounters with the clinician. So in these one-on-one encounters, the doctor discusses clinical aspects of the disease and provides brief counseling, and that is a billable visit in a federally qualified health center environment. In the group visits, the promotora is able to discuss the behavioral aspects of the disease and really foster social support among the participants. Benefits of this model are increased time with the doctor, increased time for the promotora, fostering social support among the participants, and providing an opportunity to use other variables. But again, this is an idea to self-fund your program so that we all don't have to keep grant writing. So the pro of having it in a clinic is that you can capture those billable encounters with a pediatrician who should really be involved in the care anyways. Okay, and I will end there. Thank you so much.